Welcome back to another episode of The Decision Hour. I'm your host, Adam Bird. Folks, I got an awesome and stellar guest for you lined up for you today. He is a best-selling author, a keynote speaker. His journey gained some depth through an unyielding fight against cancer, fueling his acclaimed book, I Choose Live. There's no cheating cancer, and we all have a choice to make. He has had a stellar career as a registered financial consultant. And top of all of that, he's had quite an amazing baseball journey as a coach and was offered a minor league contract with the New York Mets at one point. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Mr. Mike Coy. Mike, how are you today, sir?
I'm great. I really appreciate this opportunity to share some time with you. I'm actually honored to be on your show, sir.
Well, I very much appreciate it. Mike, let's dive right into this. Tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born and raised in Beaumont, Texas, right outside of Houston. I came up trying to play baseball. I went through the Texas Louisiana League, where I was the batting champion for 2 years and the MVP. The Mets offered me a contract in 1978. It was $425 a month and $6 a day meal money. And I had a pregnant wife at home. And I said, guys, we got to do better than this. But about 6 weeks later, I knew I had to make a choice on where I was going to go. And that's when I decided to go into the insurance field, the financial planning field, mainly because I wanted to work my own hours. I didn't want a ceiling on my income, and I wanted to be able to coach. And I was able to blend those two for the last 50 years.
Wow. Quite a career. Now, you've done more than just that as well. In here, it says you're an author and a keynote speaker. I want to talk about the author side of it. What prompted you to write your book, I Choose Live? There's no cheating cancer, and we all have a choice to make. Did you just wake up one morning, Mike, and said, you know what? I'm going to write a book today.
Well, it's kind of a combination of two factors. Number one, my son was a tremendous athlete at Austin Westlake High School, the home of Drew Brees, Nick Foles, Sam Ehlinger. And he was getting ready to start his first varsity baseball game as a sophomore, which is a tremendous feat at Westlake, because a lot of times you have to pay your dues before you have a chance to start. And my dad was in assisted living, and I went to pick him up. I was doing the broadcast for the Chaparrales. I was the voice of the Westlake Chaparrales for 12 years. I did the Time Warner Cable football, and then I did the baseball radio. And so I came in to get my dad, and the nurses said he's not ready. I went in, and he said, look, he said, I don't feel it today. He said, you go and have a good game. And I said, Daddy, I said, this is Christopher's first varsity game. I know you don't want to miss this. And he said, no, I don't. He said, but I just don't feel it. And I said, well, look, I got to go. I got to go set up the broadcast, and I've got to get there. And he said, no, I understand. I said, look, I'll bring Christopher by after the game. And as I was walking out of the room, my dad said, son, make a difference. And that's the last words he said to me, because about 2 hours later, I was up in the booth, and my daughter drove up, and her mother pointed up to the booth, and she came upstairs, and she said, the nursing home called, and Gramps is gone. And now I feel like that my dad wanted me to make a difference with the coaching, with coaching kids and trying to help them be the best that they could be. But as I've gotten older, it's something I think it's much deeper. Then I get cancer, and I've never been sick a day in my life.
You do, Mike. And you Mike, you get cancer.
I get cancer.
Okay.
And like I said, I've never been sick a day in my life. I had an ongoing sore throat. And I had taken a tremendous position with my company, with Aflac, and I had moved to home office. I had moved to Georgia. I'd gone through a really devastating divorce, and just packed up the car. I got a call from one of my closest friends, and he said, I need you to be the director of training and recruiting for the state of Georgia for Aflac. And it was a tremendous opportunity for me. I packed up the car. I went to Georgia. We hit it hard for about the first 6 months, but I kept having this continuous sore throat. So I finally, and one of the things that I mentioned in my book, I chose Live, is that that stress is the silent killer, and that men don't get checked. We don't go to the doctor, you know. And so our death rate is 58% higher than women. Of course, we know they're smarter than we are, but women go every year and they get a physical. We don't. I think one of the greatest examples of that is the great Toby Keith. Toby Keith thought that he had indigestion, and he had a tumor the size of a grapefruit growing in his stomach. And he finally goes to the doctor, and 6 months later, he left us. And so I went to the doctor. She said, oh, it's probably just a sinus infection. I'll give you some antibiotics. It'll be gone in a few weeks. Now, you have to understand, I have a tumor the size of your fist at the base of my tongue. And I'm told that I've got a sinus infection. I take the antibiotics. I go back. I still have a sore throat. So she ups the antibiotics. And all the antibiotics did was just destroy my immune system. And so on July 4th weekend, 2013, I went into the bathroom getting ready to meet some people to go out on July 4th, and a lymph node had popped out of my neck about the size of a golf ball. And I said, well, that's not good. And so I took a picture of it, and I sent it to my ear, nose, and throat doctor in Austin, just a tremendous doctor, good friend. I coached his son in baseball, and he knew exactly what was going on. And he said, look, you got to quit screwing around with the primary. You got to see a specialist. So I basically forced my way back into the doctor's office, and she got me an appointment with the specialist, the oncologist. And I went the next day. They did 5 needle biopsies. I don't know if you've ever had a needle biopsy, but it's a whole lot of fun. And he said, look, it's probably just a sinus infection. Don't worry about it. I'll call you in a few weeks. Well, at the time, I had taken a district in Dalton, Georgia, but I had moved across the border to Chattanooga, Tennessee, because Tennessee didn't have a state income tax. And so I go back to my condo in Tennessee, and I get a phone call the same afternoon.
Yeah.
And the nurse said, the doctor wants to see you at 2:00 tomorrow. So I drive back in 2.5 hours to Atlanta, and I walk in, and the doctor walks in, and he says the 3 words you never want to hear: you have cancer. And so I went through 1 week of chemo, 2 weeks off, another week of chemo, 2 weeks off, and then I had 15 outpatient chemos. I had the port put in. I also did 35 radiation treatments. And one day, and anybody out there that's going through chemo, you have your good days and you have your days that aren't so good. And I remember one day I was out on my balcony in my condo in Chattanooga. It was a beautiful summer day. The wind was blowing. I was looking at the Chattanooga River, and I felt this something on my arm, this clump. And I looked down, and this whole clump of hair had fallen on my arm. And hair was just flowing all around me with the wind. And so I just took my hands and I started going through my head, and every hair on my head came out. And it's kind of that reality that hits you that, well, guess what? You have cancer. And I walked in the house, I sat down, I turned on the TV, and I was just kind of going through the channels. And there was a movie that came on, Shawshank Redemption. I don't know if you remember that or not. Oh, gosh, yeah. It's 25, 30 years old now. It helped launch Tim Robbins' career. But if people aren't familiar with it, it was a man that was falsely accused of killing his wife, and he was placed in Shawshank prison. And the first 6 or 8 weeks that he was there, he was completely traumatized. He was bullied. He was beaten. He was raped. I mean, it was horrible. And one day out in the yard, he was speaking to a lifer that was played by Morgan Freeman. The character was called Red. And he said, you've been here for 40 years. He said, this place is a living hell. How could you be here and just survive for 40 years? And Morgan Freeman looks at him and he said, well, life is about choices. You either get busy living or you get busy dying. And when he said that, Andy, this light went off in my head. I turned off the TV. I went to my desk and I wrote my book. I chose Live.
Wow. I'm kind of at a loss for words, and that doesn't happen very often for those that are that know me. How long did it take to write the book from the time you started to finish to putting it out?
Actually, I just started talking about my life. And after about 2 weeks, I put it down and I called my daughter. My daughter, just a tremendous educator in Austin. And she's kind of my sounding board and very unfiltered when it comes to dad. And I told her, I said, I have a story to tell. And I said, it's about whether you get busy living or you get busy dying. And I'm not going to get busy dying. I said, but I don't think anybody cares about me or my life. You know, I mean, I don't have that kind of ego where, oh, well, everybody wants to hear about Mike Coy's life. And my daughter said, you have a story to tell, write it.
Yeah.
And so I finished it. It took me about 6 weeks to go through. I kept sending her rough drafts. She kept making changes. And really what it came down to was to focus on the fact that, number one, that stress is the silent killer. And number two is that men have got to get checked. And a lot of the talks that I give across the country is about that. And I talked to the ladies in the audience. I said, ladies, you got to get your men checked. I mean, they've got to go get the colonoscopy. They've got to get the prostate checked. Colon cancer and prostate cancer are the two biggest cancers for men. And there's no easy cancer, but these are the simplest to treat if you catch them in time.
Right.
And we wait until we're stage four and we've got 3 to 6 months to live. And that's what I'm trying to get the word out about.
Is it safe to, I'm experiencing this right now with personally, and this isn't something I've shared on the show before, but recently I just turned 46. My wife works, is a nurse practitioner for a trauma one hospital. So the fact that I married somebody in the medical field, I was voluntold that I was going to go get the colonoscopy and all this other thing. And I wasn't a fan of it. I wasn't, you know, a military guy. I was like, I don't need that. I'm fine. Sure. You know, the pride, I'll admit it. My pride got in the way. But let me tell you something. It was, I was having some stomach issues for the last several years. Went down, they thought I had an ulcer, checked it. I was like, okay, well, we're going to manage it. And then they were saying, hey, we need to, you know, you're 40, at 45, they said, let's get this procedure done. Just get it done. Just safekeeping. And let me tell you something. You want to talk about a stressful situation. You sit there and mentally you think in the back of your head, what if something is wrong at 45 years old and I have, you know, the news that nobody wants to hear? Fortunately for me, everything came out fine. And it even got to the point when I started with the stomach issues several years ago, I changed my diet and everything like that. The ulcer is gone. I don't have the ulcer or nothing came back on that either. But I say that and I share that, and it goes along with what Mike is saying is, gentlemen, put your pride aside.
Exactly. Yes.
And go get a check. Because here's the thing. If it's a procedure, and I don't like the medical stuff. I have a phobia of doctors. I don't like it. But listen, if I can do it, you can do it. It's and believe me, I know now that I'm healthy and I don't have issues or anything like that. God willing, I can go the next 10, 15 years without any issues before I have to go do the procedure again. It's maintenance. Look at it as like you'd take your car in to get an oil change to make sure Absolutely. That your car can run. Why the hell wouldn't you go in and check yourself to make sure you're okay so you could be there for your family 10, 15 years down the road?
Amen, brother.
It becomes a mindset. Let's put we get so prideful on the things that when it comes to us, like, oh, I'm fine. I'm a big, tough guy. No, you're a moron. You're a moron for not wanting to go. It's like, oh, I'm not going to do. Stop it.
Well, and it's part of something that I want to make sure the audience knows that I've got two free gifts, and it's Mike Coy. It's Mike at Mike Coy Speaks. I got to make sure I got this right. MikeCoySpeaks.com/gift.
Yep.
MikeCoySpeaks.com/gift. And there's two gifts. One is Mike's 10 Tips to Prevent Cancer. And number two is chapter 8, and I chose Live, which I think is a very powerful chapter. But part of my 10 tips talks about getting checked, making sure that you're eating right, trying to keep your weight into, I mean, just some common sense tips that I wish everybody would take a look at, but especially the men.
Yeah. And folks, those of you that are listening, we're going to have all of Mike's information in the show notes below with the links where you can get these gifts. And I'll make sure that we post that on the social media side of things as well. Mike, I can't believe we're already coming up on time. There's so many things. I'm going to have you back, but I kind of want to shift over. You recently have written another book as well, called A Random Act of Kindness. Can you talk about that?
I really appreciate it. Yeah. During COVID, I had just moved from Austin to Colorado Springs, and I'm sitting just in my office twiddling my thumbs because you can't go anywhere, you can't do anything. And I remembered a short story that I read from the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, gosh, 20 years ago. Yeah. And John Slater had written just a two-paragraph true story about two young men that he called a simple gesture. And I decided to take that story and just embellish the hell out of it and make it my own story. And that's where A Random Act of Kindness came from. And it's the story of the jock and the nerd and their friendship based on the jock stepping into a bullying situation. And what you find out is that unless you walk in somebody else's shoes, sometimes a simple gesture, sometimes a random act of kindness can not just change somebody's life, but it can save somebody's life. And I have really taken off. I'm just so blessed on the fact of the success that I've had with A Random Act of Kindness, especially with some speaking gigs and some upcoming gigs that I have, that they have made it very clear that all they want me to do is talk about the book. And I think that right now, today, we have so many factors out there that are either misunderstood or not taken seriously. And I honestly believe, I open every talk and I sign every book with, you never, ever really know when. You never, ever really know when. And what I mean by that is that how a kind word, how a the homeless person on the street that you go to Wendy's and get a super meal and drop it off to them. You just decide, and I do this a lot with service. In Colorado Springs, there's a lot of military, as you know, with Army and Air Force. And there's many times I will go to one of my favorite places is Tropical Smoothie. And if a soldier walks in, I will pay for their smoothie. And it just thank you for your service. And I just think that sometimes that simple gesture, that random act of kindness, that word of encouragement, that attaboy, that pat on the back speaks volumes as far as not only being able to change somebody's life, but you never know. In some cases, it just might save somebody's life. And that's the basis of my book.
You know, you really hit the nail on the head with this one, I think, because you think of a random act of kindness. And what Mike is saying, folks, right now is, you're making it sound so easy to do. How easy is it to say thank you? Or how easy is it to say, here, or let me help you with this, or hey, add a, I believe you said add a boy or add a girl, or, you know, just give some words of encouragement to your waiter, or, you know, at a restaurant, or somebody that you see on a street corner that, you know, instead of getting frustrated with somebody that's panhandling, drop them a couple of bucks or some loose change that you have in your center console or whatnot. That small random act of kindness, you'd be surprised how far that goes, or what that, I don't think we'll ever truly know what that means to that person. And that's fine. But imagine a world today if everybody did one random act of kindness a day, if everybody, just think about that for a second, or take a quarter of the world's population. If you take a quarter of the population and that quarter did a random act of kindness every single day, do you realize how much better the world would be today?
And it's called paying it forward, right, Andy? I mean, you know, I'm a 10-year cancer survivor. I got news for you. My kids will tell you my life is clearly to define AC and BC, before cancer and after cancer. And that's where you... when you have a little bit more compassion, you have a little bit more patience on things that 10 years ago I would have gone off on, or done something stupid or said something stupid, where today, a lot of times I just kind of laugh it off and move forward, because let me tell you something, life is too short. And when you're somebody like me that is 70 years old and you realize you're in the fourth quarter, baby, this is all about not just getting to the 10-yard line. We got to score some points.
I love those analogies, Mike. I absolutely love those. Yeah, and like I said, you really nailed it right there. And you know, it to me, I call it, it's a mindset that you really kind of have to put. You have to make that decision. Put yourself in that mindset to, you know, you mentioned before, 10 years ago, you might have reacted differently to something, as opposed to today, you kind of laugh it off. And I think yeah, everybody should have that attitude, quite frankly. Me personally, I think everybody should be like that, because here's the thing. In life, there's one guarantee. We all know what the end result is going to be. How you get there is going to be different than everybody else's experience, but you all know what's going to happen at the end. So enjoy the life until you get to wherever that end might be for you. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mike, your keynote speaker, and I want to just touch up base on this real quick, because we got some corporate people that definitely listen and whatnot. How can people reach out to you? Those that are listening that want to reach out to you, have you come in, speak to their group or to their teams, how can they reach out to you, get in touch with you, Mike?
It's Mike at Mike Coy Speaks.
Okay. And we'll make sure that we have all of that information down there as well. Mike, before we let you go, I got one more question for you, my friend. You're on a show called The Decision Hour, and we have to make decisions every day. Name a time, Mike, in your life where your feet are on that line and you have to make that decision. What is it, and what's the atmosphere like at that time?
I think it goes back to the number of people that ask me, did I ever think about giving up, Andy? Going through the cancer, losing the weight, having the going through all the treatments and everything else. And I was able to look them right in the eye and say, never. Number one, I had a 6-month-old grandson that did not know me. Number two, I had not walked my daughter down the aisle. And so I had the benefit of a purpose of fighting and staying on top of it and taking whatever consequences were going to come my way. Right now, I've got 3 grandsons that probably wish they didn't know me. And my daughter, I did walk down the aisle, and she blessed me with this beautiful granddaughter that spoiled crazy. And so for me, again, life is about choices. And when I decided to confront the doctor and say, okay, what do we have to do? What do we have to make? How do we make this happen? You know, he just said, look, it's not so much a life or death situation with you as we're not sure if we can save your vocal cords and not remove your tongue. And for somebody that speaks for a living, a musician, I have my own band. I just have a blast doing charity events. And for somebody that was told you could lose your vocal cords and you could have your tongue removed, it's like, all right, let's get this thing going and let's see where it takes us. And so I think the biggest decision for me was, I think about the great American philosopher, Rocky Balboa. And Stallone says, it's not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get up. And that's what I would like the message to be. We're all going to get knocked down. And I talk about it in the book in my baseball background, that life's going to throw you a curveball. And you either sit there and watch it come in, or you throw those hands and you hit it to the opposite field. And you make sure that pitcher knows that that's not going to work against you. And that's what I hope and pray, that everybody out there, that when they make a decision, that they make the same decision that I made 10 years ago. And that is, I chose live.
Love it. Mike Coy, everybody. Mike, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate you very much, brother.
Absolutely. Folks, we're going to have all of Mike's contact information in the show notes. Before we let you go, make sure you go check out our parent company, Heroes Media Group. Go to heroesmediagroup.com. Check out all the podcast shows that are over there, new articles, and see what's coming up here the next couple of weeks with Heroes Media Group. Until next time, you've been listening to The Decision Hour.